Welcome to Authors Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. I'm your host, Alba Mireles, and I'm so delighted to welcome today's guest, Ashia Goldson, author of the book titled What Won't Die. We're here to celebrate your creativity and explore the world you crafted in this book. Thank you, Ashia, for joining us.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
And like my first question is always like, what initially draw you in this world of writing? I know that you're a teacher, but why did you decide to start writing?
To be honest, I've always been a writer. Like I was a writer before I was anything else. As a kid, I was that child walking around, making up stories. And as soon as I could read and write, I was writing them down and stapling papers together to make books. I was always a writer before I even knew it. So it just came naturally to me.
Okay, that's wonderful. And can you talk a little bit about your typical writing process? How do you focus on writing and those stories came to life through a book?
Okay, so I'm a bit of a seat of the pants writer. I'm working on being more organized with my outlining. I think more outlining now than before, but stories just kind of come to me in real time. And I don't necessarily know, I might know the ending, but I don't necessarily know how the character is going to get to the ending. I kind of find out along the way as the characterization takes place, as the character develops and various events happen, it just kind of progresses that way.
Okay, and you have a background in education, and how was your role as an educator influence your writing or storytelling?
Oh, awesome. Yes, definitely influences it, because as an English teacher, you know, I'm always teaching about reading and writing. We're always analyzing authors' writings. And so it just inspires me. When I read good writing, it inspires me. I learn from it myself, as right along with my students. And it inspires me. And so I like to take what I'm giving them and take that same energy and bring it home with me and just continue.
Okay, and your book, What Won't Die, what inspired you to explore this particular, like, subject?
Well, I'm a faith-based writer, first and foremost, and I'm always finding, looking for stories that explore the depths of one's faith, right, or lack thereof. And so for this story, What Won't Die, it should have been released a long time ago, I would say. But life, you know, I'm so busy with a lot of things. I kind of put it on the back burner for a while. And so I was excited last year to finally bring it to the forefront. And so I always like to explore issues of people who are down and to give them hope. So my stories always, I try to incorporate hope, redemption, faith, right? Kind of to give people hope, not to give up no matter what you're facing.
Okay.
So that was one reason.
Mm-hmm. Like, what inspired you to write Gabriella McBay's story?
So again, I like to do kind of what ifs, right? So, you know, like worst case scenarios. So what if you had this perfect life, she's an attorney, everything is going well for her. She has a wonderful family, a husband, a son, everything is great. But what if you lose it all? You know, what happens when you lose it all? You know, do you move forward? Do you lose your faith? Do you give up? And in this case, Gabrielle McBay has lost her husband and son rather quickly, you know, in a tragic accident. And so, again, the what if is, okay, well, how would one go on under those circumstances? What would happen? What would be the different phases of pain, grief, and what would restoration look like?
And what is the message that you hope readers take away regarding all those issues?
So the message always for me, again, I'm a faith-based writer. And so the message always is that no matter what you go through, there's hope. So I'm hoping to build people's their faith, their hope, kind of encouraging you that, that even though weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning, which is one of my other titles, ironically. But that's like really the message for me, that no matter what you go through, that God is with you and that you can get through it and come out better on the other side.
And I saw that you have like a joy series book, Joy Comes in the Morning, Count It All Joy, Let Joy Arise. So all those, what central themes connect these books? What makes like a connection between all of them?
Okay, so that was those three books were a series, Joy series, and the series is Joy. That in all of them, I always write, try to write relatable characters who are just hit with, these are everyday people, not necessarily anything special about them, but sometimes, life, the circumstances, the things that we go through, may seem, just impossible to deal with. And in all of those, I would say the common factor is that the underlying faith, right? So not every character in those stories were people of faith in the beginning, but at the end, that they would understand or that they would come to have faith or come to have renewed faith.
And I know that you also have children books, right? Like Jaden and the Magic Shoelaces, Sola and the Big Purple Cat. Yeah, like those are for a different audience. But how this book approach themes of faith and empowerment in your children's book?
So my children's books, that's kind of separate. So they're not all, those are not all necessarily faith-based. They're just writing children's books. That's just super fun for me. I have an affinity for children. I've been teaching for, not to reveal my age, a long time. So let's just call it 20 years plus.
Okay.
And so, right. And so I've taught young children. I've taught, I'm now teaching high school, but I've taught young children as well. And so those are just fun stories, not necessarily faith-based stories, although one is. And again, it's still I would say that the common theme is perseverance, right? Like not giving up, even in the children's stories, like not giving up.
Yeah. And did you find any like storytelling techniques different than writing? Like I know that you're doing like films, podcasts. Mm-hmm. How does a screenwriter compare to novel writing for you?
Okay, so for screenwriting, I also teach screenwriting at school. It's a class called dramatic writing at the high school level for our seniors. Screenwriting is totally different because the formatting is totally different, and the length of it is shorter, right? So so I always have to turn my brain kind of like, not off, but I have to turn that novel writing part of the brain off whenever I'm screenwriting, because they're just so different, right? So whenever I'm screenwriting, I have to remember less is more, right? So you're not trying to fill up the page with description. It's quick and snappy. Dialogue is shorter than in novels. So totally different format. And so I really have to focus when I'm screenwriting, not to be a novelist, like not to, I might want to describe more. I might want, and I have to pull back and remember, no, I'm screenwriting. And so it's a totally different technique. So that's challenging, going back and forth.
And talking about challenges, what is some of the biggest challenges you have faced as an author and how you overcome them?
Biggest challenges as an author, I think for me, I think the biggest thing is just balancing my creative brain with with my day job, with teaching, right? Just a balance. Just a balance to be able to do them both, because they're both very rewarding, but both very time consuming.
Yeah, they're very demanding. And how do you manage these responsibilities? Well, you're maintaining your creativity, inspiration. What do you do?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. How do I maintain? Right. Well, like I said, again, I love reading and writing, right? And so since I am always talking, I'm always teaching reading and writing. I'm always teaching story. I'm always reading something, writing something. So again, teaching English really helps because, again, I'm inspired by the work that I do, right? So we're always reading. So whether it's something in literature or whether it's even something that's nonfiction, there's always something that I'm reading that is inspiring me. So that helps. I think that helps for me to keep the juices flowing. And then I might come home and it might not be me writing a full-blown scene or anything, but it might look like me just jotting down some ideas, and that keeps the flow going.
Okay. And for aspiring authors in our audience, what's one mm-hmm. piece of advice you will offer them on their writing journey?
The most important part, I think, of the writing journey is for writers is to write. Oftentimes, writers stop writing for different reasons. Life, you know, again, situation, circumstances, sometimes fear, critiques might make a person feel like they're not worthy of writing. They can't write well enough. They need to do this first. They need to get better first. Sometimes self-editing stops writers from writing because, you know, we're trying to edit as we're writing, and you're writing the scene, and then it's like, oh no, this is terrible, and they'll ball it up and throw it away. The best thing to do is keep going. Just write your draft. Don't edit yourself. Just write raw, right? Don't look back at it even. Just write raw. And then when you have completed something, whether it's a scene, a chapter, whatever it is, depending on what you're writing, a poem, whatever it is at that point, once it's done, then you can go back and look at it and edit. But a lot of times we stop ourselves by just critiquing ourselves.
Yeah, we are the hardest critic for ourselves.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And
mm-hmm, absolutely.
What has been the most rewarding aspect of being an author so far?
There are so many. I love just holding a new book in my hands. But I love when a reader reaches out to me and tells me how that book has impacted them, how it's impacted their life, how they enjoyed the story, how it resonated with them, how they enjoyed the characters, all of that I love. Yeah, I would say that's probably the most rewarding.
Okay, and are there any upcoming projects or books you're currently working on?
Yes, yes, absolutely. So I do have my next book, which will be released mid-July, and it's called A Savannah Prayer. And yeah, so it's called A Savannah Prayer. I don't want to tell
you. Yeah,
too much,
yeah. But, don't give us a spoiler. Yeah, it's okay.
right. Yeah.
Okay. And
but I can tell you there's some beautiful settings in Savannah in it.
Okay. And are there any new genres mm-hmm. that or themes that you wish to explore in the future? Like another, apart of the fiction, like children's, any other? Mm-hmm. Okay. The last question was where we can find your books, your work. I know that you have a lot of things, and where we can find those.
Okay, well, you can find my books, you can find all of them on pretty much all of the online platforms. including, of course, Amazon, but not limited to Amazon. So Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, you know, all of the online platforms, as well as at my website. You can go to goldwritepublishing.com or covenanttribemedia.com.
Okay.
And find my books as well.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
And you can also...
Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, you can also meet with me on social media. I spend most of my time on Instagram, although I may dabble in the others now and then, but most of my time on Instagram at the Filmmaking Faith Writer.
Yeah, you know, Instagram now, it's like it's also social media, but it's also networking. So it's good that you're there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ashia Gold.
Thank you. Also
for share everything that you share with us. It has been a pleasure to having you on Authors Radio. And thank you for giving us a glimpse into your work and sharing your passion. Listeners, be sure to check her book. And thank you for turning to Authors Radio, Amplifying Voices, Inspiring the World. Join me next time for another inspiring conversation. In the meantime, happy listening.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.